You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Let's get fired up for Week 10, folks. Thanks for joining us. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning with Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. And we're here for the next 2 hours to take you through the entire NFL slate for Week 10. Got off to a roaring start on Thursday night, per usual, and here we sit with some actually high-profile games, so hopefully this trend of bad ratings or dipping ratings will turn around on Sunday as we head into a somewhat exciting slate, both from a fantasy perspective and an NFL perspective. George and I's favorite teams face off this week. We'll get into that a little bit. And certainly give you all the ramifications of that game and many more as we walk through injuries and everything else. George, how are you this morning?
Oh, I'm okay, Mike. Always happy to be here with you on early Saturday morning getting ready for Week 10.
That's right, buddy. So, like I said, the ratings have been sort of front and center for a lot of people, a lot of NFL fans. This Thursday game has a 4.2 rating, down from a 5.6 rating in Week 10 last year, which was a Bills-Jets game. The Browns fall to 0-10. Not too much you can say there, frankly. In fact, of the one player on that entire team who has been worth his salt over the last several years, Joe Thomas, even he didn't play well the other night. Terrell Suggs burning him for a couple of big plays in that second half. Turnover city there. The Browns play a little bit of musical chairs. I know you talked about this some yesterday, but were you confused by that, the switching of the quarterbacks? Is there anything you can take out of that game other than a decent game out of Steve Smith?
No, pretty much. It's the Browns being the Browns. What are you going to do? You want to change quarterbacks? I really don't have a problem with it. You want to get a spark going, which is what Hugh Jackson said? Fine. Obviously, it didn't work. I mean, in my mind, I think they're doing the right thing. You got to find out what you have in Kessler. You know, can he be at least a backup? I don't think he's going to be a starter. You're getting the number one pick overall. I'm assuming that's going to be your starter next year. You know, take the number one top overall quarterback that you believe is available. So I think that'll be your quarterback eventually. Kessler, can he be your number two? I think that's the big question. You know what McCown is, right? He's a veteran backup.
36-year-old guy.
Would have traded him when they had the chance.
I would have too.
But then again, the other argument is, this is why people are saying they shouldn't trade Joe Thomas either. They already have 6 extra picks the next 2 seasons. How many more picks can you get?
Yeah.
There's a point there as well. But it gives you ammunition to trade up. You know, get better players, go for quality over quantity. I mean, I would have traded Joe Thomas. I would have traded McCown.
I would just keep stockpiling picks.
Right.
They're turning over the roster anyway. They brought in 14 first-year players this year.
By the time you get good, Joe Thomas is done anyway.
That's right.
Yeah, McCown is obviously done, so trade him.
Do the guy solid, at least.
Well, no, Joe doesn't want to leave.
I know.
Joe wanted to leave, I think he'd be gone.
I agree with that, actually. A good buddy of mine is from Cleveland, and he said the same thing. He's like, he must just like Cleveland, because at some point you would have had to assume he and or his agent would have gotten together and been like, listen, it's not turning around. This is my 5th new coach. Can we just get me out of here and onto a place where I could play in the playoffs? So, really, honestly, folks, not too much to talk about there. Steve Smith has a decent game, but the numbers all the way around offensively were really nothing impressive at all. Obviously, the Baltimore defense racked up some points. I played against them in one league, and I think they put up a 21 spot on me, so I'm certainly playing from behind there. But beyond that, Flacco, the running game, there's really nothing. I mean, I guess it's the one thing I'd want to ask you really is going forward, do you have any level of confidence in this running game? Kenny Dixon touches the ball a bunch of times. Terrence West, 21 carries for 65 yards, so he doesn't even do anything with it. Do you see any light at the end of the tunnel for Kenny Dixon?
Well, he's getting more involved.
So 11 touches. He has over 80 yards.
So I guess there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Do I see big things? No. You're looking at a flex play at best on some weeks, and you're always got to worry about Terrence West, who looks like maybe he's feeling the effects of a longer season, first-time starter. Maybe he's wearing down a little bit. I think it could be more of a timeshare going forward.
Yeah. So 21 touches for Terrence West. Sorry, 22 touches. He did catch a pass. And like I say, Kenny Dixon, the 11 touches for the 80 yards. He breaks on a couple of plays. nothing super explosive, but, you know, Flacco gets in there, and he goes 30 for 41 for 296 and three scores. It's about as unimpressive a line there as you could see. He does throw the two picks as well, but the Browns really couldn't move the ball. Started turning it over in the second half at an alarming rate. Terrell Pryor, for those of you that had him, five catches for 48 yards, a very pedestrian night. Isaiah Crowell, Duke Johnson, nothing there. So that's about it. That's about all I can say. Really a pretty good night for Flacco from a fantasy perspective. I guess the one play you'd really highlight as somebody that we've been waiting on is a nice touchdown catch from Brett Perriman where he fights off the defender for a 27-yard score. But really, again, that's just the one play. He has three catches for 64 yards. Nothing to write home about. Flacco really spread it around the other night. Nobody had more than six catches. Pitta with the six catches for 26 yards. So, again, another pedestrian night. PPR, he saves you a little bit with the number of catches. So, moving on to this week. And we're going to put it up on the poll in a few minutes. Our fabulous producer, Pete Considori, is with us here today. We'll put that up on the Twitter poll. And it's which Week 10 game are you most fired up for? As much as I talked about the waning ratings and these Thursday night duds of games, we actually have a pretty decent slate lined up for this Sunday. Some exciting games, some of which you'll get to watch on national TV and have a lot of fantasy ramifications. So we have the Cowboys at the Steelers, Broncos at the Saints, Seahawks at the Patriots on Sunday night, and then Falcons-Eagles is that other one of those other 1 o'clock games. There's a few others sort of in that range, but you know, I could take a guess as to which games will be voted on pretty heavily here, but those are your four games. Cowboys, Steelers, Broncos, Saints, Seahawks, Patriots, Falcons-Eagles. Which one are you most fired up for? Hit us up on Twitter, and certainly hit us up on Twitter all morning at FNTSY Radio on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. George is at George Kurtz. I'm at Mike Blewett, and we'll happy to answer any and all questions as we go through the games this week. So, our bye weeks this week, we have the Bills, Lions, Colts, and Raiders. It's not as bad as last week, George, but still we have some pretty impactful players that are out on bye.
Actually, some people might argue it's worse than last week. Not as many teams.
That's right.
But the quantity, the quality is a little higher than last week. So, listen, I'd like to get the byes over. I wish they would do something about these byes. In my mind, I'll never understand why they can't just give each division a week off. You know, why they have to mix and match over time. I think in a perfect world, you give the division off, and the next week, the division plays each other. So it's all even. No one has an extra week of practice. I think that'd be in a perfect world. You could change it up which week they get a bye every year.
We need to get you a job in scheduling in the NFL. Yeah, it's a brilliant idea.
TV networks would hate that because all the division games would be – some of the games, division games would be early in the season rather than late.
Yep.
So that's why they don't do that. But it'd be perfect. I mean, as far as fairness, I mean, baseball screws it up too with their interleague play.
Mm-hmm.
I like interleague play, but why is the Yankees and Red Sox, why don't they have the same schedule? It's not even close. It's not like the Yankees play the Mets more because of the rivalry. It's not just that. They don't even play the same teams.
Yeah.
Never understand that, why they can't make this more even.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, I digress.
And those interleague games in, like, the second to last weekend of the season.
No choice there.
Yeah.
That's nothing they can do with 15 teams in each league.
That's right.
So you can't blame baseball for that.
Yeah. So, so Bills, Lions, Colts, Raiders, for those of you that have been hemming and hawing about LeSean McCoy, you get a week to cool your heels on it. The Lions, obviously, some big pass-catching options there, and Theo Riddick at the running back position. Colts, you lose that entire passing offense plus Frank Gore, so that's tough. And the Raiders, obviously, you've been playing your Raiders every week. Crabtree and Cooper, Latavius Murray coming off his biggest game of the year with the three touchdowns, and then Derek Carr is going to take a seat. And Raiders obviously looking good after that Broncos win last week, so they're in control there a little bit in the AFC West. So moving over to the injury reviews, speaking of the AFC West, Jeremy Maclin is out, so he's been struggling. He had the worst possible situation he could have last week going in injured, tries to suck it up, and he's out a few plays into the first quarter. So Jeremy Maclin on the sidelines. Your thoughts about him? I mean, this is the type of thing, unfortunately, it looks like it's going to linger and has been lingering on him, and it's really hurt Jeremy Macklin's production this year.
I think fantasy-wise, it's addition by subtraction. I think now you say you don't have to worry about playing him.
Yeah.
He's been horrible anyway. They don't look for him in the red zone at all.
Yeah.
So, I say it's good that he's out. Force you to go in another direction, find someone else on your roster, for someone else on the waiver wire, whatever else it might be. So, I think it's very good fantasy owners. You don't have to make that decision anymore. Do I just start Macklin? Do I start this guy? Go with the other guy.
Yeah, I tend to agree, actually, because I have Jeremy Maclin on a couple of teams, and he buried me last week in our Josby Pros League. I mean, all that hemming and hawing I did last week where I was going to take the zero for Randall Cobb. It ended up working out for me because Randall Cobb ended up with a near double-digit point game, but Jeremy Maclin ended up with a zero. So the guy that I thought might take a zero wasn't the one who took it. Instead, it went to Jeremy Maclin. I have some more lineup questions here this week that I'll get into after the first segment, George. So you're going to be my I'm going to bounce a couple more things off you there. So moving on to other injuries that were going to impact us, and we'll go through it game by game. Carolina offensive line kind of banged up, but we like the matchup for Cam Newton. Will Fuller going to play. Jalen Strong not going to play in Houston. Alan Hurns has been dealing with an injury all week, but it looks like he practiced on Friday, George, so things are looking up for Alan Hurns, correct?
Sure. Yeah, I guess that you could say they're looking up for Alan Hurns. Whether or not you want to start him, depending on what else you have on your roster. Hurns probably Marquise Lee, who might have been a deep sleeper in some leagues. Lee's been playing well lately, but with Hurns back in there, probably going to stay away from Lee as well. Not the greatest matchup on the planet for the Jags. I don't hate it, but certainly don't like it all that much. But then again, they're the second-half team where they'll just, you know, be down 18 points and score a couple late touchdowns to have a great fantasy days.
I saw a stat this morning. Do you know who leads the Jaguars in receiving yards this season?
I'll say Lee.
It is Alan Hurns.
You know what? It's close.
It is, but it's even closer than one would suspect because on the year we have – I'm going to bring it up exactly right now. On the year, Alan Hurns has 443 receiving yards. Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson are tied with 442 receiving yards. So you want to talk about an even split, that's about as even as you get. And unfortunately for Hurns, he had the 7 for 98 and a score a couple of weeks ago. Then he's out last week. So he continues to be a little bit maddening for those of you who drafted him. I drafted him in one league. It was the same league where I had Allen Robinson. I ended up just having to release Hurns because I was never going to play him. It's a pretty good team of mine, a first-place team. But in any event, Allen Hurns looks scheduled to play this week. So we got some other injury issues. We'll continue to go through. Todd Gurley is banged up. Tevin Coleman and Jacob Tammy for the Falcons are out. Jaquizz Rodgers is out. Peyton Barber in. Any expectations for Peyton Barber?
Depends on Doug Martin. It's an impossible question to ask, answer until we find out about Martin. Probably a situation you're going to want to stay away from if Martin plays. I doubt he plays a full complement of snaps, which means Barr will be in there some, Martin will be in there some. How much Martin plays depends on how healthy he is, how he looks. You don't love the matchup anyway. The Bears have a better run defense than we give them credit for, or than people believe, I should say.
Right.
So it's not like it's a fantastic matchup for either one anyway, but it's going to be a nightmare situation. And it won't be as bad as dealing with the Redskins. You know, as far as their three-headed monster in the backfield, there are a lot of running backs now where there's teams are using three and four members. Good luck trying to figure this out.
Right. We've got some issues in Seattle there, too. So if Doug Martin played, if he gets announced that he's active, are you playing him or no?
I'd rather not.
Right. Obviously, dependent upon your options.
Yeah,
but
it's running back. You may have no choice. Most of us aren't deep enough at running back to make that decision. I have Martin in one league. Luckily, I am deep in that league, and I'm not playing him.
Yeah, Green Bay. We'll do. George and I will do a full reset of Green Bay when we talk about that game in a little bit, just because it. Mike McCarthy comes out and he announces Ty Montgomery as a running back straight up from here on out. So you have that to worry about, and we'll really figure out exactly what the Green Bay depth chart looks like because James Starks is now back in the mix potentially. DeSean Jackson is doubtful. Jarvis Landry has been banged up. So these are a lot of names which are in and out of your lineups every week, and we'll try to go through them game by game. But those are some of the major injury highlights that we're talking about. Again, which game are you most fired up for this week? Hit us up on Twitter, and we'll continue to go through that. Now, on the DeSean Jackson situation, he's doubtful. What does that mean for you in the Washington depth chart? Who do those targets go over to? They're playing the Vikings, which could potentially be a slowdown offensive game with the Vikings trying to control a Vikings defense while they've taken a step back. Still a kind of a formidable defense. What are your thoughts there about DeSean Jackson? Say he's sidelined as he's doubtful. What does that mean for anybody else?
Why do you care? What was Jackson doing?
Right.
He was such a big loss? No. And once again, this could be addition by subtraction. Makes it easier for you. Don't put him in your lineup.
I totally agree with you on this.
It was a bad matchup anyway. So I think it's good for our fantasy owners if he's out. I think Crowder's the number one there. He's the guy who he may not be he's certainly not your prototypical number one NFL wide receiver, but he's the guy that Cousins is looking for. If it's not Jordan Reed, it's Crowder. And he's getting open. He's more than just a PPR guy now. He's getting yardage. He's getting some touchdowns here. I like Crowder. Unfortunately, bad matchup. Yeah, Minnesota, I think the defense is showing some cracks. So maybe they're not that elite unit they were in the first half of the season, but they're still good. And they're still capable of shutting down Washington. Remember, Washington's without their left tackle. Maybe Cousins doesn't have much time to throw there. You know, maybe you can't look for these guys deep. I have Crowder as a wide receiver three this week. You know, Garcon's more of a flex guy, someone you throw in there. I don't mind Garcon, just not this week against Minnesota.
Yeah, so to keep, as George was saying, talking about Crowder branching out from where his previous role seemed to be, they were on bye last week. Prior to that, he had 9 for 107 and a score in that tie in London. And the week prior to that, at Detroit, he was 7 for 108. So he's picked up double-digit fantasy points the last three times he's gone out there. And he is, I mean, again, Washington, with the targets being split so evenly, it's difficult to say he's going to get tons of volume. But with DeSean Jackson out, that just helps him. That helps Jameson Crowder. He's at 56 targets on the year, which is tied with DeSean Jackson. Pierre Garçon is at 55 and Jordan Reed at 58. Obviously, Jordan Reed had an injury, which kept him out for a couple of games. But or concussion, which kept him out for a couple of games. So, again, it's split pretty evenly, but we like Crowder to pick up from where DeSean Jackson's targets may go. Beyond that, Jarvis Landry. I have not read the latest on Jarvis Landry, but he's been pretty banged up and limited in practice this week. You expect him to play tomorrow?
I expect him to play. The question will be, how long will he play? And that could be annoying for fantasy owners, a shoulder injury. I have no doubt he's going to start. You know, if he lands on a shoulder, gets hit on the shoulder, how long goes after that is really anyone's guess, and that's what's going to be a problem for fantasy owners.
This be like what happened to Travis Benjamin and Jeremy Maclin a week ago, where those guys were in. And just
different injuries, but yeah.
Yes.
Benjamin
is similar dynamic.
Benjamin's
yeah.
A whole completely different story there with that knee injury,
because right.
He was complaining about it before.
Right.
As I said, Landry is questionable. I think he's going to play. If I have him, starting him. I mean, maybe you have great wide receivers. In general, if I have him, I'm starting him. I don't think I'm going to go away from him in PPR leagues. Standard leagues, I could make the argument, sit him, find somebody else. He's not that great in a standard anyway. He only caught 3 passes last week as well. So the Dolphins are now a running team. It's all about Jay Ajayi and what he can do, so that's going to limit the throws there. But you did hear Adam Gase also say this week he has to get the ball in Landry's hands more as well. So it's a sort of chicken of the egg theory here. I'm starting Landry more than likely, but I am concerned.
So I'll give you one lineup where I have Jarvis Landry. Two wide receivers and a flex, because my running back depth chart there is tough. So it's a half-point PPR. Jarvis Landry, Julian Edelman, Cole Beasley is who I have in right now. But I have Willie Snead on the bench. Would you replace any of those guys? Willie Snead, would you put him into lineup over any of those guys?
You said PPR?
Half-point.
Half-point PPR. Landry, I'm not taking Edelman out. Beasley has been pretty good, and I took Dallas out to throw the ball a bunch tomorrow.
I haven't used Cole Beasley in this team yet, because every week I look at it, and every week I'm like, what's the real upside?
No, I'm probably going to go with that.
Yeah.
I think you can make an argument Snead over Beasley, but not really Landry, no.
And if Landry, if he's healthy enough, like, he could put up huge numbers here. San Diego's defense is nothing to write home about, and they're very injured right now. They're banged up. They've lost corners throughout the year. They got linebackers that are out and linebackers that are banged up. Joey Bosa has been a force when since he's been on the field, but one player cannot make up this defense. Like you said, and we can talk about it a little bit later, but it's been pretty amazing transformation, right? It's just in the last month, but Gase has figured out that, listen, we're going to win ball games by giving it to Jay Ajayi and blocking for him. And this offensive line may have actually figured itself out.
Got healthy. The offensive line got healthy.
That's right. Got healthy and potentially figured itself out. So Adam Gase may have caught, it may seem like he caught lightning in a bottle, but, you know, it takes some time. He's a first-year head coach, and maybe limiting what Ryan Tannehill does and increasing what Jay Ajayi does is just what the doctor ordered. So we can get into that one a little bit later, but it's important to note that an injury there could impact the way that game shakes out. So it's Mike and George here until 10 o'clock. We got Gary Davenport from Fantasy Sharks up in about 45 minutes. He's going to go through IDPs, individual defensive players. We'll talk a little bit about defense. I got some listener questions already, and we'll go through game by game. We'll talk about George's article that you can find on the Roto Experts exclusive in-season package, reviewing defenses you want to target each and every week. We'll talk about that after the break. Also talk about my lineup conundrums in a couple of my leagues, which you may have similar situations. So again, Mike and George all the way till 10 o'clock. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning. Taking you all the way till 10 o'clock. And I'm here with George Kurtz. I'm Mike Blewett. We'll be taking you through all the games. And as I try to do every week, relate to you a little bit with your lineup struggles, as I do with a few of my lineups. And one that I got an issue with this week, I got Jeremy Maclin and Tevin Coleman out. This is the Josby Pros League, where George, I'm starting to get a little nervous now because I thought this league would work itself out. I had Tom Brady and Tyler Eifert coming back. It felt good. I'm playing Tony Cincotta this week, and I am currently, you and I are both 4-5 in this league, and we are second and third in scoring, and we both are 4-5 and out of the playoffs right now. I need wins now. I thought the points would just kind of work itself out. I'd start racking up wins, but it's not happening. So my lineup question for you this week is something we touched on before the break, and that is, I got Jeremy Maclin out. Willie Snead goes in his place. I have Tevin Coleman out, and Derrick Henry goes in. I also have Todd Gurley, who's banged up but probably going to play against the Jets, which isn't really my favorite matchup. And then I got Peyton Barber sitting there on the bench. So do I move Derrick Henry out for Peyton Barber? I'm not going to play Peyton Barber in the flex because I have Antonio Gates in the flex along with Tyler Eifert in at the tight end position. So what would you do here?
So why exactly am I helping you?
Because you're my friend.
You said you're chasing me.
Yeah, I'm not chasing you. I'm chasing the people that are actually in the playoffs.
We ain't brothers, we ain't cousins, and we ain't friends. What movie?
I don't know that one.
Oh, come on.
We ain't brothers, we ain't cousins, and we ain't friends?
Yeah.
That sounds like something De Niro would say.
No.
What movie?
48 Hours.
Oh, man.
Nick Nolte.
I love that
Eddie
movie.
Murphy.
I should know that. That's a great movie. It's a absolutely unbelievably foul-mouthed and offensive movie.
It is.
But the comedy is genius in that movie. And
Nick,
I think
Nolte
some
and
people
Eddie
forget.
Murphy were fantastic.
They really are. Tremendous movie. And so that's where I'm at. It's really my running back situation. It's Todd Gurley and Derrick Henry are in there now, and I could throw Peyton Barber in there if I feel like it. Everybody else is on bye or hurt.
Isn't Henry out?
He's just not out.
Oh,
I don't think
he's out.
No, he's back.
Well, I'm not starting Henry. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, practice in full on Friday.
I'm not starting Henry. I don't see why you would do that.
Yeah, so Peyton Barber.
I remember you said you had Barber. I'd rather have Barber than Henry.
CJ Procise, I think, is available in that league. Don't pick him up as I'm talking about this. I think CJ Procise is available there. Would you pick him up and start him?
I'm shocked in the league in which we play, with Scott Engel plays with us, that CJ Procise is available.
He was available yesterday morning, and my hesitance to pick him up may have been. He's a free agent right now.
Scott's been playing him up all week.
I drop Peyton Barber and pick up Procise? Should I just do that right now?
Michael may not play this weekend either. He went on the report questionable. Is it a PPR league? Yes, it is a PPR league. I think I'd rather have Procise. Right? Christine Michael, the problem is next week. Next week's going to be, Rawls is back next week. Then you got Michael Bill, should be healthy.
That's right, it's a one-week rental.
Oh, my God. That's another situation I don't want anything to do with because it's going to be tough to figure out who's going on here. The offensive line is poor, to say the least. That's why I like Procise, because he'll get the catches out of the backfield. Don't need an offensive line for that.
That was my thought, that Procise is really a one-week rental.
He is. After that, his value gets lessened a little bit.
So that means I'm dropping Barber, I'm picking up Procise, I'm playing Procise over Derrick Henry, and I think Derrick Henry and Peyton Barber potentially have more long-term value to me.
Let me see if I can make this decision easy for you. I'll just claim Procise.
Oh, come on. Come on. All right, so you can pick him up. It's fine.
No, I don't need a running back, so I'm not going to do it.
Anyway.
It would have been funny, though, if I did.
Yeah. So you see my conundrum, right? This is not, like, the easiest thing to figure out.
I'd probably go Procise for the one-week rental.
And drop Barber.
Yeah, because he's done after this week anyway. You would think Martin's definitely back next week. Then Jaquizz Rodgers got to be close as well.
Maybe.
It's a mess. But what's Barber in? He's the fifth-string running back.
I know, but he's actually playing. I actually think of all these guys that I'm talking about, Barber might be the right one to play.
Listen, when it comes down to anybody who's listening, they're all the same. They're all dartboard throws. You know, what we're looking for here is not really a type of player, but playing time, opportunities. That's what we're looking for in matchups. When it comes to Barber, like I said, fifth-string running back, he's not all that great, but he'll play some tomorrow. Even if Martin starts, Barber's playing some. The question is, how much? Is it 6 snaps? 10 touches? 4, is it half? It could be half. And if Martin gets hurt early, Barber can play the rest of the game. You know, ProSize, it's the same thing with Michael. ProSize is going to play anyway. I think ProSize plays, let's say, 35-40% no matter what. But if Michael struggles again, or if Michael's hurt, maybe ProSize starts that game.
Okay, I was listening to Scott Engel on the show yesterday, and he was saying, like, Christian Michael's in the middle of losing his job.
I agree.
So
ProSize. It's ProSize for me.
All right. So
here's one thing I'm curious about now. I want to see
what. Like, what did he? What did he do?
That's what. Why?
ProSize.
Why did Scott claim him?
Scott's made 47.
Right, but not ProSize. That's strange to me.
Screwed. I'm doing it now.
Unfortunately, I don't know which. Everybody's nicknames in this league, and I don't know which team is.
He's Kai Forbath fan club.
Oh, that's right, Kai Forbath. Why didn't he claim him?
So, all right, I'm going to. I know I've grinded the show to a halt with my own nonsense, but it is what it is. So, I just did that. I'm adding CJ ProSize and dropping Peyton Barber. So, I moved on with my lineup. So, George, this week, moving over to your.
I see
your article for the week. So you got some target defenses you want to target against. Who do you start with? Who's the number one defense that you want to target?
Well, it's the same defense every week.
That's right.
Is it? Well, I guess we can't pick on Indianapolis this week since they were off. Although Green Bay didn't take advantage last week. That was frustrating.
It did happen late, though.
Not enough. Not enough of what we expected.
You know what? It helped me in DFS. Rodgers' late touchdowns really hooked me up, so I can't complain too much. But
I really can't complain either. I went. Here's the irony for you. I play in eight yearly leagues. Went 7-1. The only one I lost, the one I was 8-0 going in.
That's right.
So that's.
So thank you for bringing that up.
Irony for you.
So in a dynasty league that George and I play in, I, not to give myself too much credit, I went undefeated last year, 15-0. The only one to do that in that league since
its
inception.
Mike has broken his hand on his back many times.
5 years in that league. I've won it twice, and last year went undefeated. It's a very competitive league in some respects, so I was proud and happy to do that. In some respects, and I say that
because... I think of all the leagues I play in, this one might be the most screwed up.
Because you have, like, you have 32 experts in this league, and some of them are... It's a dogfight. For the guys that are competing, and some guys have just checked out.
Some guys
so you
set,
have dynasty leagues;
lines,
they're not
the
setting lineups. You
got
like seven. Yeah, it's just so that's the tough part there. But in any event, George was undefeated. So today I'm Mercury Morris and the 72 Dolphins, popping a bottle of champagne and celebrating that nobody will go undefeated.
Mike was
like
sending out
league.
Emails. I'm like, oh, make sure you beat George. Don't make
and Mike
your
Dempsey,
lineups.
Our friend Mike Dempsey at Football Diehards, and he's also works with the Jaguars. He made sure of it and doubled you up.
Oh,
I think
got crushed.
He did it nicely. So, to your point, same defense we want to target each and every week, San Francisco 49ers going up against the Arizona Cardinals. David Johnson is you know, the top running back in fantasy football this year, but, man, this is a sweet matchup. So
yeah, well, listen, who aren't you starting here?
Yeah.
I think it comes down to Carson Palmer. You know you're starting David Johnson. Palmer, off the bye week, he's looked terrible for most of the season, but this is about as good a game as you're going to get. Off a bye week, at home against San Fran. He's more than a streamer this week. He could be back to being the Palmer we used to, what we wanted to do before the end of last season. I'm starting him. He's my backup with Derek Carr in a couple of leagues, so he started for me in at least two leagues. So I'm giving him a go this week. I think he has a good game. My only worry is David Johnson scores six touchdowns in the first half, and the second half doesn't matter anymore.
That's right.
That's my only worry with Carson Palmer.
So the passing volume could be down. What you need is those passing touchdowns in the first half, right?
Or San Fran for somehow to score a couple of touchdowns to keep this game relatively close, which I don't know if it's going to happen.
And we have a banged-up Carlos Hyde.
And that's frustrating. He's had two great matchups in a row. He'll come back for this week where they have a horrific matchup.
Right. So... beyond that, we can get into this a little bit deeper, but since we're talking about the game right now, our DFS guys at DailyRoto.com, which you can go there, buy a package to get some very unique lineup decisions and shaping of rosters on FanDuel and DraftKings, you can go to DailyRoto.com. They like Palmer in tournaments this week, and there's also they were highlighting J.J. Nelson a little bit. So talk to me a little bit about how you see that depth chart shaping out. We all know that Fitzgerald, who has been banged up, but after the bye week, I expect him to play. How does that depth chart shape up for you at the wide receiver position after Larry Fitzgerald, between Brown and J.J. Nelson, who was great last time out, and Michael Floyd? So how do you see that shaping up?
I'm a little worried. I mean, I have no problem with Fitzgerald. Right? He's the man. He'll get his – I think he's fine. I'm not worried about it. Floyd has also now had time to heal. He was banged up before the bye. I'm assuming he's 100% healthy. Now, Arians came out yesterday and stated again, Nelson is the starter. But they use a lot of three wide receivers, so Floyd's still going to be in there. Brown's still going to get plays as well. So, I mean, what if Nelson doesn't get off to a hot start? What if Floyd catches a couple of big balls? Remember, although he wasn't catching him, Palmer was throwing his way an awful lot. The targets were there, just not the catches. So I'm a little worried here, a little
worried. Michael Floyd had every opportunity to keep his job.
He did. You know, so I just wonder about that before I'm going to hop on board the Nelson bandwagon here. I'm going to start Palmer this week if I have him. I'm going to start Fitzgerald, of course, Johnson, of course. After that, I don't know. It'll depend on roster construction here. If I had a choice, you told me right now, choose one, Nelson, Floyd. I got to go Nelson because that's where Arian says is going to start. I have no choice there.
Yeah.
But I don't love it.
J.J. Nelson made it up to me a little bit in having a good DFS game a couple of weeks ago. But the fact that he didn't get away and break into the end zone for that touchdown during the tie is something I'm going to think about for the rest of the year. Because as I've mentioned on this program before, I have the Cardinals over 9.5 this year. And that tie put me in a world of hurt because they should have 4 wins right now. And I'd feel pretty good about them going 6-2 down the stretch. Now they have to go 7-1 in order to clear that 9.5 mark. And I don't like my chances there at all. So, in any event, J.J. Nelson, one of the fastest guys in the league, can't run away from a guy when it's overtime, apparently. But, you know, don't miss 24-yard field goals. What do you want me to tell you? So, beyond that, George and I are going we'll continue to talk about the defenses that he suggests you target. The Niners, obviously, the number one. The Saints, somebody you want to target with Trevor Siemian, potentially a streaming quarterback for people this week. The Bears continue to struggle, and they're going up against a Buccaneers
team. There are a lot
of
streamers this week, by the way.
Yeah.
There's plenty of streaming quarterbacks for you.
So I have a league in which I have Drew Brees, and I would never sit him, but I started looking long.
Not sitting Brees. I don't care.
Of course. But I started looking both this week and long-term in that league because I haven't had a backup quarterback all year, but we're in first place, most points scored. And I'm just trying to set up in case there's an injury. I don't really need depth at any of the other positions. And I actually picked up Jay Cutler because both this week and future weeks, it sets up kind of nicely for him. I know he's not a guy that you're going to fall in love with, but the Bears' schedule the rest of the way is not tough. So I think there's an opportunity there for those of you that might need a second quarterback or are looking for somebody to quote unquote stream here in the next couple of weeks. I think Jay Cutler is an option for you as much as people may get frustrated with it. Ironically, in that same game, Jameis Winston is a guy that you could use as well, correct?
I think Winston's more of a streamer right now. He's probably in your top 12 anyway.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you about Cutler. He's my, in a two quarterback league, he's my third quarterback. And why did I draft a third quarterback? Because it's exactly what you said. At this point in the season, where my two stars are Ryan and Luck, he was going to cover their buys, and I like the matchups. Now, granted, in August, I don't know if that really matters, but I did take a look into that, mainly to make sure his buy wasn't the same as Luck and Ryan, my starters. So yes, I think Cutler is a good streamer this week.
So here's the Bears' schedule for the rest of the way. You got Tampa this week. Then they go to New York and play the Giants. Then we have the Tennessee Titans, the Niners, at Detroit, Green Bay, Washington. That's pretty easy.
Well, the next couple of weeks isn't that easy. Tennessee Giants are decent secondary.
Yeah, but
he's not going to light them up.
But, you know, versus some of the other guys that had an option to pick up, I really like that the rest of the way, especially, you know, what if Breeze goes down in week 13? You know,
it's going to be a lot of crying.
Yeah, exactly right. But at least I would have Cutler against the Lions, Packers, and Washington, so I'd feel okay about that moving forward. So we'll get to the game, what I think is the game of the week. And again, go to Twitter to vote on our poll, which game gets you most fired up this week. And this game, these next couple of games, are options for you. So the boys, George's Cowboys, face the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is a team I've been rooting for since I was 4 years old. It's a 50 total, the highest total of the week. Pittsburgh, a 2.5-point favorite.
How do you know what team you're rooting for at 4 years old, by the way?
That's just what it's the game. It's the team that I remember. You know, I have pictures of my.
It's the team
that I remember most.
Four?
And there's pictures of me wearing Franco Harris jerseys when I was about that
so
old.
Mom so mom and dad put you in a Franco Harris jersey.
I think I probably requested it because I was I was a football savant at the age of 4. So
requesting a change, maybe a bottle.
So. Highest total of the week, 50 points. And do you like Ben to bounce back this week?
We bounced back in the second half last week, right? I mean, let's face it. If Sammy Coates catches that ball, that might be a tie game.
You didn't tell me about
He dropped an easy touchdown there.
Okay.
For anybody had Coates, and you know, he dropped a touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Easy touchdown. He just off both hands in the end zone for a bomb. So maybe he was back in the second half. Was it a mistake to start him? More than likely. We knew this going in. But this is Ben. throughout his career. If they held him last week and started him this week, it might be the same thing tomorrow. Yep. First half bad, second half good. So you got to eat it either way. He did not suffer any kind of re-injury. You know, no setbacks there as far as playing, so he's fine. Of a Dallas secondary is down half, you know, no Barry Church, no Morris Claiborne.
That's right.
The only question will be, can the Steelers get the ball? Or will Ezekiel Elliott just eat it, not let anybody else have it?
100%. That's the exact question I was going to ask you. This is a tug-of-war ball control game, right?
Well, it's I wouldn't call it that because that means both teams are even. Steelers are going to score in a minute. Dallas may score 12 minutes.
So that's the interesting thing. That's why I wanted to ask the question in that way because I wanted to get your thoughts on it. The Steelers are an explosive offense, right? When the big three are playing together, which they finally will again tomorrow, you got Brown, Bell, and Roethlisberger, all three tomorrow. Now, their depth chart is thinner. No Darius Hayward-Bey, no Marcus Wheaton, which means Sammy Coates, to your point earlier, got dropped some passes, but he's going to be in line for some targets tomorrow.
Yeah, right? So Eli Rogers also it could be a play tomorrow.
That's right. So, you know, if you're talking tournaments, you want a cheaper option, Eli Rogers is a guy that you could consider. So Dallas obviously going to try to keep the ball out of their hands. Do you think the Steelers – they're not going to change their offensive philosophy, but obviously they have the ability to control the ball with Bell. Do you think they maybe lean a little bit more on the running game tomorrow than they otherwise would so that Dallas doesn't have that opportunity to rack up or to keep their play volume down? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying, and it's interesting because now you're talking the coaching philosophy and team philosophy. Let's say the Steelers, I wouldn't call them the 70s Chargers, where they're passing the ball all the time.
Yeah, they're not the greatest show on turf. There's right. not that kind of offense.
They can, but they can run the ball as well. The problem is Dallas is good against the run. I think they're second in the NFL. I don't know why that is, because when you think of the Dallas defense, it's really not that good. But that's what the numbers tell you. Well, the Steelers don't want to change their philosophy tomorrow and run the ball more. I get what you're saying, make sure Dallas that they can't eat the ball for 38 minutes of the game.
That's right.
You know, if I'm a Steelers, I'm probably not going to – if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I don't think it's broken. I'm going to play my normal offense. I'm going to assume the defense is going to come up with some stops, going to make some plays. It is in Pittsburgh. I might agree with you more if it's in Dallas. Maybe I change your philosophy on the road. In Pittsburgh, I'm playing my game. I'm a Cowboy fan. I'd be surprised if the Cowboys won tomorrow. I think they're running into a bit of a problem here. Steelers need the game much more than the Cowboys do.
No doubt.
Lost three straight. The division's getting Baltimore one Thursday. It's in Pittsburgh. I think it'll be a good game. I think it'll be close. But I think in the end, I think the defense will come up with a stop when they need it. You know, maybe a third and two. Elliott doesn't get the first down. On the opposite end, Ben does throw the big touchdown pass when he needs it. If in Dallas, I probably feel completely different in this game.
Yeah.
But in Pittsburgh, Steelers are a different team in Pittsburgh. Just like the New Orleans Saints are different in New Orleans. So I think Steelers get this one.
Yeah, it worries me is that a lot of experts are picking the Steelers to bounce back. You know, I think everybody concedes that the Steelers haven't been playing as well as they could have for the entirety of the season. We saw some highlights and lowlights, certainly the highlights against the Chiefs, the lowlights against the Eagles in these last few weeks. But, you know,
Always on the road.
Exactly. I expect this to be a pretty good game tomorrow. I think this is a type where, you know what, you're used to watching Red Zone each and every week and getting your fantasy updates. I think you put the remote down for a couple hours and maybe tune in on this game. I think this could be an exciting game. Exactly right. So, but I tried. So we'll talk. We'll get to Broncos, Saints, Packers, Titans, a few other games after the break. It's Mike and George on Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Yeah, some slow jams. Saturday morning. Pete plays this every week at this segment. I'm not really sure why, but if you're laying in bed and you're just hanging out, listening to the show, listen to some slow jams provided to you directly by our esteemed producer, B. Considori. So just coming up at 10 o'clock, coming up at 9 o'clock, we get Gary Davenport from Fantasy Sharks. I'll go through some defensive, individual defensive players and some defenses on the week. Coming up at 10 o'clock after our show is College Game Day with Joe Lisi and Rich Chiamanello. They're going to go through all the high-profile games this week. I got a few big ones, as always. My alma mater didn't show up again last night. It's not worth talking about on this show. They got blown out. I think it was 45-7 final, and they continue to lose games at an alarming rate and an alarming pace. So they somehow have four wins and can still go to a bowl game, but I'm not going to be going to that bowl game. So in any event, I had some friends that asked me a question over the week, good friends of mine that listen to the show every week, Robin and Sean down in Florida. And Robin is an avid fantasy football player. She has been for some time, and she's always hitting me up with questions. So she has a conundrum that I kind of touched on earlier, George, but her question is, and I think you answered this, she's got LeSean McCoy on a bye, and she's not sure what to do. She's got Deion Lewis. She's got James White. She's got CJ Prosise. She's got Christian Michael. So she just needs one of those. I think, based on the conversation that you and I had earlier, you're going to take Prosise here, or you're going to take one of those Patriots backs?
Do you really want to game with the Patriots backs? I mean, outside of Blunt. Blunt is the one guy I like there.
That's right.
White, Lewis could come back, although maybe that's iffy now. If you read the tea leaves yesterday, I like Blunt. I don't know if I like White all that much. Bill Belichick said it's going to take a lot for White to lose his job. I guess he's liked the way White's played. That also maybe some little motivation to Lewis as well. Hey, you're not just coming back and getting your starting job back. I'd like to stay away from New England if I can, outside of Blunt. I'm not all that excited about that. White hasn't played, fantasy-wise, has not done as much lately. So I'm going in the other direction.
So CJ Prosise for you out of that.
I'm still going to like Prosise more. You know, we talked about this earlier. Michael hurt. Not playing well anyway. Might lose that job anyway. Prosise had more touches, a lot more touches last week on Monday night than Michael did. I think New England's going to throw the ball. Stroud's going to throw the ball more this week.
Double so you passes, like Prosise.
PPR leagues. You know, I'm not loving it. I'm not saying he's going to get 18 points.
I'm not loving it either, but I just dumped Peyton Barber for C.J. Prosise, and I'm going to play him. So, Robin, there you go. C.J. Prosise is the man. You made the right call. I think it's just a little bit. The other guy I would consider is James White, but I think you're right to assume that LeGarrette Blount is going to have kind of the bigger day here. I actually expect the Patriots to win this game comfortably, George, but your thoughts?
I think, you know, if it was even – as far as, I mean,
7.5-point favorite.
I don't mean that. I don't care about the point.
Yeah.
Anybody who worries about point spreads, by the way, does people understand that Vegas sets that up not to say New England 7.5 points? If they worry about what side people are going to bet on.
Of course. They want to be 50-50.
People get all upset. Even NFL players get all upset. Oh, we 4-point underdog. They don't care about who's going to win.
They do a nice job with the totals, though. You got to give them that.
Yeah, but all they want is to cut, once again, they want to get even. The half bet one side, half bet the other side. It's all they care about.
That's right.
So I know some people all get upset about that. But anyway, Seattle played Monday night. Now they're going cross country. That's not good.
I'm concerned about that. I asked Scott that question yesterday. We were going back and forth on Twitter. He said he's not concerned at all. I know he's a Seahawks fan and all that kind of stuff, but he says he's not concerned
Scott
about
get
it.
A little blinded by the Seahawks.
He did pick the Patriots to win this game.
Oh, well, who wouldn't?
Right.
I mean, really, it'd be tough.
I'm saying he's confident in the Seahawks, but he's not
blind. I think the
blind.
Seahawks are the best team in the NFC.
Yeah.
You know, but I still think New England's the best team in the NFL. I'm going with New England as well. I think it's a tough. I mean, if it was even, you know, neutral site, not just playing Monday night. And I think Seattle also, the past 3 weeks, has played the most defensive snaps in the league. Mm-hmm. That overtime game against Arizona comes into play there. So I think they may be a little tired here. But I think that's my problem here. I like New England.
Yeah. So, I mean, Brady... nothing needs to be said there. Our producer Pete was asking earlier about Russell Wilson over Kirk Cousins. That's a move you make, or do you like Kirk Cousins instead of
Russell? Don't really like
Russell
either
Wilson?
One of them. Sorry, yeah. Pete. I mean, neither one is a great matchup. Wilson looked good. He looked like he's healthy again. You know, so I think he's back. I think as far as he's back being Russell Wilson, could get out of the pocket, can make plays. Not the best matchup here. Still,
such a tough matchup.
Cousins going up against Minnesota. It's really a coin toss here. I'll go. Is Washington at home? The Redskins are at home.
They are.
Yeah, I'll go. I'll go. Ugh. I can say it hurts to say Cousins over Wilson. It just hurts to say Cousins over Wilson.
It does, and I actually think Seattle may have to throw their way back into this game a little bit. I think New England tries to take out Jimmy Graham, takes out the number one guy.
Yeah, that's what Bill does.
And you have opportunities for Prosise, like you're talking about. You have opportunities for Doug Baldwin, Tyler Lockett. I heard a whole thing the other day on the Roto Experts in the Morning show about Tyler Lockett.
I'm going Wilson.
Guys are crying in their beer over Tyler Lockett this season. So, yeah. All right.
Wilson. Why? Why are you crying over your beer over Tyler Lockett?
Because those guys.
Is that really going to determine your fate?
Because Corey and Scott and I think even Tony were in on Tyler Lockett back in August, and he's just been a total dud this year.
Yeah, so what? I mean, come on. That's not a play that should be determining your fate.
Yeah. Yeah.
A wide receiver three?
Yeah, he's certainly not now. But in some instances, he was drafted higher than that. I know a few of those guys drafted him pretty high, so expecting wide receiver two and possibilities out of him. So there you go. I mean, you know, Russell Wilson, I think, could have to throw his way back into it. If you're asking me, do I think the Patriots will cover the 7.5?
Why are we helping Pete anyway? Yes. We got strange people walking in the studio here that we don't know. They're stealing things.
Yeah, there was, you know, that's a fair point. You guys are just listening. But we did have somebody that none of the three of us know walk in here about 3 minutes ago. She dropped something off, and then she left. She didn't steal anything, I don't think.
But there's
some sort of transaction that happened here that none of us are aware of, and don't know who she is. Never saw her before in my life. So
not my fault, Mike.
Yeah, sorry. She had the code, so you got to put that on lockdown. Switch up the code if you want. Don't want strangers walking in and out of this studio. So moving on to the next game, we got Broncos at Saints. 49 total there. A bunch of higher totals this week, but Broncos at Saints. You got Aqib Talib and Derek Wolfe out in Denver. New Orleans has probably the longest injury report in the league. It's typical for them, but now it's really blown up. There's about 15 questionable guys. I think most of them play, but especially on defense, they could be even thinner than they normally are, which is one of the worst defenses in the league. So I know you mentioned in your article, George, that Simeon's a streamer here, but other options here, especially at Broncos running back, where we saw Capri Bibbs at least get a little bit of playing time.
Well, you heard Kubiak say that Bibbs has earned some more playing time, or some more touches. So I expect to see that. I think Booker bounces back here, mainly it's because it's New Orleans. Everybody bounces, but you and I can run against New Orleans. Hmm. So I think he'll bounce back somewhat, maybe reaffirm.
I don't know, I got a little bit of a foot thing going on. I don't know
I'd be
how
dead the next day.
Explosive I'd be.
Either way, I think I'd get a yard and then just go, go to the hospital for a month. But I think Booker does well here. Enough where we won't be talking about his job as much next week. Simeon is a streamer play here. It's New Orleans. Once again, if you can't start Simeon or any Bronco against New Orleans, why are they on your team? You know, unless you have depth there and it's really, okay, this guy's just better, fine. But if you're not starting your Broncos this week, then it's time for them to go. Go find somebody else. You know, there's really no point in it. Demaryius Thomas goes, Emmanuel Sanders goes. Simeon, like I said, he's up there with, I was going to say Flacco, who's a streamer for me. Cutler, all these guys, you name Winston, I don't consider him really a streamer anymore. If you consider Mariota still a streamer, all these guys, there are plenty of backup quarterbacks this week to grab. Simeon is one of them. I don't trust him, though, as much because I wonder if he's going to try and run the ball down their throats. But you mentioned the injuries. Points that we put on the board, they're not going to stop New Orleans. They're going to slow them down, but they're not going to stop New Orleans. So I do like Simeon this week, but maybe not as much as I like Cutler and a couple of the other guys. For New Orleans, Ingram and Hightower, that's really the question here. You can run at Denver right up the middle. We know that. We've seen that over and over again. So Ingram should have a day here, but Hightower's not going to be forgotten about. Hightower actually touched the ball more than Ingram last week, although Ingram had the better day. But Hightower had a good day, too. This could be a game where, once again, you could start both of them. Probably not on the same team.
But I'm actually going to do that this week in the Dynasty League.
I've seen that a couple people have done that.
If I had done that last week in one of my leagues, I would have won. I lost because I started somebody instead of Hightower.
Yeah, but that was San Fran. I mean, this is Denver. They're a little better than that.
Yeah,
I don't blame anybody. I think they're both startable is the bottom line here. Cooks, I'm starting. I'm not really afraid of Michael Thomas either. I think Michael Thomas might be better than Cooks.
I actually have Capri Bibbs in a Dynasty League where the depth charts are crazy thin for each team. So I actually have DeJuan Harris and Sharkandrick West in the starting lineups right now. Do I take
take
West out and Capri Bibbs put him in?
Sure. What did West do last week?
Nothing.
It's the Saints. I'd rather have Bibbs in that case.
Yeah.
One of the biggest disappointments last week was Sharkandrick West, and he couldn't get anything done.
I agree.
Spencer Ware's back. So anyway, where was I? On New Orleans. I think the two guys I worry about the most on New Orleans are Fleener and Snead. You know, do I want to go that far down against
Michael
Denver?
Thomas is obviously
Michael Thomas,
getting it done.
You can make an argument he's better than Cooks. You know, with Tlaib's out, so they're both going to not see a whole bunch of Chris Harris. I'm starting both. In New Orleans, if it was in Denver, I might feel differently. In New Orleans, I'm starting both. Fleener will come down to roster construction. What else is out there? Probably starting, but don't want to say definitely. And as you and I have discussed a couple times now, Snead is the guy I keep leaving out. You know, the question you asked me about Beasley, Landry, and Edelman, I left him out in one of my leagues. Actually, I think I have Snead in two or three leagues. I'm not starting him in any. I'm strong at wide receiver. I can avoid him.
Yeah, so on the year, for those of you that may have kind of lost sight of where the Saints are at, reception leader on the year in New Orleans, Michael Thomas, 47 to 41 for Brandon Cooks. Touchdowns tied with Brandon Cooks at 5. Targets, Michael Thomas, 63, Brandon Cooks, 62. Yardage, Cooks has a 23-yard advantage, 596 to 573. Slight edge to Brandon Cooks, depending on the type of league you're in. It's a slight edge just based on the yardage. But frankly, I'm in a half-point PPR league. Cooks and Thomas are basically a dead heat, 1 point difference on the year so far. So to those of you that slept on Michael Thomas, and I'm raising my hand, it's not a good call. He ended up fulfilling some of these rookie promises that some people had promised us. The Tyler Boyd call that you and I made, not working out. Michael Thomas is working out. Laquon Treadwell, some people promised you that he would have a good season. He's been a phantom. So, you know, these rookie wide receiver questions are always difficult to sort through. And here we go. Michael Thomas is really at the top of the food chain this year. So moving on to another game. We're going to have Packers-Titans. So I want to just spend a minute talking about the Packers depth chart. Mike McCarthy comes out and says Ty Montgomery is a running back. We got James Starks coming back from injury. He may or may not play, correct? Still questionable, like he's going to be a game time. Is that fair to say with James Starks?
They're not going to tell us early. I expect him to play.
Right. So Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, who was banged up, didn't get a lot of snaps last week, but catches a touchdown late and saves your fantasy bacon if it was DFS. Or otherwise. In fact, George and I were sitting here a week ago saying Cobb's probably going to be out, and then that turned around in 24 hours. So give me a sense here. How is this going to look? You think Ty Montgomery gets those snaps at running back, and Devontae Adams is still a bigger part of that passing offense like he was, ball control, passing offense?
Yeah, I think Ty Montgomery is the running back you want there. I don't think you want much to do with Starks. Even if he plays, I don't think he's the starter. I think it is Ty's job. And I think I think Mike McCarthy is probably doing what he feels is best to get the team a W. My only problem is Montgomery, is he your traditional running back? Probably not. I don't know if he's going to get the goal line carries. I think Scott Engel and I argued about this during the week about who will be the goal line guy, which Scott really made the point that there is no goal line guy. That might be true, but I think Starks will be that guy when they do go in that direction. Ty Montgomery will be the guy who catches the ball out of the backfield, gets some runs here and there. Devontae Adams, I don't mind. He'll be a little inconsistent. Some games he'll be in the big part of the game plan. Some games he won't. Randall Cobb is back. He's healthy. He's off the injury report. He's fine. Nelson's fine. So where does that put Adams? Third, fourth on the target list? Also, Richard Rodgers was big last week with Aaron Rodgers looking at him early and often. I think that's game plan specific. Obviously, they must have saw something that says the tight end was going to be open, and he was early on. So, listen, with Adams, I don't think he's a must start. He's a probable start. But not a must-start, depending on what else you have on your roster.
Yeah, so the most alarming thing about Jordy Nelson this year, he tends to be a forgotten guy. He's got 38 catches, 509 yards, 7 touchdowns. The touchdowns are saving you there. If you sort of do the math, his numbers are going to be disappointing. But you know what's the most alarming thing? 73 targets on those 38 catches. That's a horrible catch rate for somebody like that.
Indeed.
Horrible. You got somebody like Mike Evans, whose catch rate wasn't great last year, but they were feeding it to him and forcing it to him on a bad football team. That's not what you should be with Jordy Nelson. So that's it. 1 hour down, folks. We got Gary Davenport up after the break. We'll continue to break down these games one by one, get to as many as we can. It's week 10. Mike and George on Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back in a few.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Got Gary Davenport coming up here in a minute. Sitting here in the shadow of Madison Square Garden on this very exciting day for not only football fans like us and fans of the many sports that we watch. George, a big hockey fan, as is Pete Considori. Pete, a big Rangers fan. George, your team of choice is?
No, I think I'd rather not say.
Okay. George's team will go unnamed for the week.
I'm an Islander fan.
He is an Islanders a formerly proud, once proud Islanders fan, but maybe not so much anymore. But here tonight, the city's kind of a buzz because Conor McGregor is going to be fighting Eddie Alvarez in the main event tonight for UFC. Sport I watch a little bit of.
Really? The city's a buzz. So that's what's happening.
I feel that way.
So if I go outside, so I ask people, they're going to know
my... We do the show in the shadow of Madison Square Garden. You don't think Madison Square Garden's a buzz? Just talk to a guy in the elevator. He's here in from L.A.
Really? Yeah.
He's here from L.A. in for the fight. Jeez, I'm just trying to get things... I'm trying to get the juices flowing, trying to get everybody excited. Well, now that George has thrown cold water on my UFC talk, we'll bring in Gary Davenport to talk about individual defensive fantasy players. So, Gary, how are you doing, buddy?
No, dude, all right.
You watch, Gary, is Cleveland a buzz?
Not Cleveland. We're literally 100 yards from the freaking fight that's happening in 12 hours. So, Gary, do you watch UFC at all?
A little bit.
It's Conor McGregor, exciting fighter, right? An exciting personality in the fight game, correct?
Oh, yeah, should be a good fight.
Yeah, so we'll see. All right, so that's it. That's the UFC segment probably for the year, since George is really not excited about it. So, Gary, we got some tasty offensive matchups for people like David Johnson and any of your Denver wide receivers, and probably conversely, the Saints being at home is always something that people look towards. So just your thoughts in general, defenses, team defenses you may want to avoid and team defenses that you could feel like you can stream this week.
You know, like you mentioned, with Denver traveling to New Orleans to play the Saints, I mean, Denver's a good defense, but you got to choose Big Easy to play the Saints. I mean, even if you have a good game, you could give up 27 points and play well. So that's a team that I don't know that I would really want a part of this week. Oh, the rest of them, I can't really – streamers off the top. I mean, there's so many that I just play – that I don't play unless the matchup is good. So, as many leagues as I could, I picked up Baltimore and played them this week off of Thursday night, which worked out well.
Yeah, I guess you could look at somebody like the Bears going up against the Bucks. You know, Jameis is good for a turnover here and there, and you got maybe somebody like, the Jaguars only because of Brock Osweiler, and, you know, even Washington to a certain extent where Minnesota hasn't been all that good. But, you know, we're talking about some pretty rough defenses that you have to put out there to stream, and it's hard to trust them, correct?
Right, absolutely. You know, you talk about Chicago. Yes, Wilson has been good for some turnovers, but Chicago has also been good for giving up some big yardage and points, and they're going to Tampa Bay to play the Buccaneers. Maybe I'd feel a little bit better if that game was in Soldier Field.
All right, Gary, so no more this talk about UFC. I was reading your article last night, your Week 10 IDP studs. I'm going to keep needling Mike about this whole show now.
I'm not the only guy that's watching UFC in America. It's a huge global sport now. I just want to make that clear that I'm not off in left field talking about UFC. But
we
digress.
I forgot what question I was going to ask. Bobby Wagner, Gary, let's talk about Bobby Wagner. Is he back to being one of the best linebackers in football?
You know, I don't know that he ever really stopped being one of the best linebackers in football. It's just sometimes his statistical production gets hurt by the fact that the Seattle stat scorekeepers can be so assist-heavy that we get wonky stat lines sometimes. So last week, I freely admit, I advised people to sit him. Heading into that matchup with Buffalo, it was not a good fantasy matchup for linebackers. I think they're 31st or something like that, points allowed in the position. And he goes out and has a huge game. So I apologize for that. This week, love them against the Patriots. They're, I think, second in fantasy points allowed to linebackers. I think it's partly because earlier in the season they were running the ball maybe more than they are now. And even when they're not running the ball, I mean, the Patriots are a very methodical offense. They're a very good offense, but they're not an offense that throws a lot of passes that, you know, are going to travel 30 yards down the field. They're lots of 10, 12, 15-yard plays. And those still keep the linebackers in the mix for those tackle opportunities. So I like Wagner quite a bit this weekend.
So a couple of names that I'm seeing on your IDP studs and duds for the week. Jason Pierre-Paul only has a sack and a half on the year, but you like him this Monday night. Give me some thoughts there.
Hey, Cincinnati's just been a very friendly matchup. That's one of the Bengals' big problems so far this season, is that the offensive line has not done a very good job protecting Andy Dalton. And, I mean, you look at Pierre-Paul's tackle numbers are okay. It's just, I don't know what the deal is. Apparently the hand is just a bigger impact than we thought it was going to be. You know, a lot of people thought coming into the season, given that he had an entire offseason to get ready and kind of get used to that hand, that it wouldn't be as big a deal this year. I think that this turned out that that's not the case. I think his future in New York is probably pretty uncertain, given it's just a one-year contract that he's on. But this week, we got four teams on a bye. We got a lot of people with some disappointing defensive linemen in their lineup. Pierre Paul is going to rise up for once. Just give me one, Jason. Just give me one.
Gary, give me some players this week who are maybe not at the top of everyone's list that you think will perform well.
Oh, I'm going to ride the Corey Toomer train for as long as I can. And I think we got at least one more week of him in San Diego. Oh, the San Francisco safeties, I like both of them this week. Antoine Bethea is a guy a lot of people will already be rolling out, but even Eric Reed could probably put up halfway decent numbers for you this weekend. And if you're in a league where you need to start a cornerback, which some IDP leagues are that way, Bradley Roby, we saw last week, he got taken behind the woodshed by Derek Carr and Amari Cooper against the Raiders, but I think he had 9 tackles and a sack, which is great statistical production. And this week they get the Saints in New Orleans, the matchup's even better than the Raiders were. So anytime you can pick a guy like that up off the waiver wire and ride him for 2 or 3 weeks, just as we're getting into the playoff chase, you call that fortunate.
Another name, you know, a guy that I think in J.J. Watt's absence has probably been a guy that really has flashed quite a bit for the Texans, and that is Benardrick McKinney. Clearly playing against the Jaguars. You saw a little bit out of Chris Ivory a week ago, and now we may have an opportunity where Benardrick McKinney slots in as a guy who not only is under the radar, but maybe front and center, can actually have a good game here for IDP purposes.
Oh, yeah, and he's emerged as a decent fantasy starter this season. Jacksonville, even when the run game has been in the toilet, is still giving up fantasy points to linebackers. They've been a top 5 matchup most of the season. Like you said, we finally saw them kind of get that run game going a little bit this past weekend, ran for over 200 yards against the Kansas City Chiefs. So hopefully they'll be able to stay in that game with the Texans a little longer, and we won't see Blake Bortles garbage time until, say, you know, start of the fourth quarter. And that would give McKinney plenty of time to rack up stops. I like Brian Cushing this week as a guy you can get off the waiver wire and just plug in as a decent, you know, third linebacker. And then as the fourth quarter begins, Blake will kick into Blake Bortles' garbage time. And the offensive guys can have their cake too. And all will be happy. We will be united.
That's a funny little term to use this week. Anyway, yeah, we haven't really talked about that at all. We've gone an hour and a half and haven't talked about that. Justin Houston.
Why? Something happened this week? I'm unaware of any macro events in our society that might have impacted people one way or the other. It's kumbaya. Listen, the city's abuzz with the UFC. Right. Pete's on board. The city's abuzz with the UFC. I don't remember any other events that could have happened this week where the city might have been abuzz with protests or anything else. Things are all well in Manhattan. Don't you worry.
It's beginning
don't you
to
worry
look
about
a
that.
Lot like Christmas.
That's right.
Yes.
Listen, the Rockefeller tree is going to go up here in a couple of weeks. We'll all be holding hands, and you know,
and
obviously,
Christmas
some
cows,
people
absolutely.
Will be protesting as we're holding hands, and we move on.
Gary, Justin Houston is not going to play tomorrow, but if he's available in your league, you think he can produce the rest of the season?
It's going to matter on what your scoring system looks like. You're going to, unless you're in a league where sacks are weighted pretty heavily and they score really highly. By the time we get, you know, we haven't even really seen him on a practice field that consistently yet. So you figure we could be easily another week or two out from him playing at all. So then you're talking about week 12. It could be week 13 or week 14 by the time that he's playing any sort of regular snap count. And even then, you're counting on a guy to get you a sack in a weekend where if you lose, your season's over. And it's a guy who hasn't played all season long. It just doesn't strike me as the kind of philosophy you want to take into the fantasy playoffs.
So, Gary, beyond that, you know, we got a little bit on IDP. I wanted to get your thoughts, really, because there's a couple of high-profile games this week. George and I talked about a little bit. I think the Cowboys-Steelers game is interesting because of I'm curious as to what the Steelers may do. We obviously have two teams going up at it. The Steelers going at it this week where Cowboys are on fire. The Steelers desperately need this. They're a slight favorite at home. Ben got maybe knocked the cobwebs off last week in the second half. Now, do you think this could be, like George said earlier, the Steelers are very explosive offense. Dallas obviously grinds it out, ground and pound. But the Steelers do have, in my opinion, the ability to control the ball. Do they try to feed Le'Veon Bell to control the ball, keep it out of Dallas's hands, or they just go fast and loose. They got their big three all healthy, and they'll just take the explosive plays when they get them. How do you see this game playing out?
I think probably a combination of the two. I could see them wanting to control tempo a little bit, but I don't think they necessarily want to slap training wheels on the offense. It's going to be a really interesting game to watch, because I still have my questions about the Dallas Cowboys defensively. And if they get into a game with a high-octane offense, you know, yes, Dak was able to lead them back against Philadelphia, but let's be honest, how good are the Philadelphia Eagles really? You know, can he do that against a Seattle or a Pittsburgh or a team like that? So that's going to be a great game to watch this weekend.
That is going to be a great game to watch this weekend, Gary. I'm looking forward to watching that game.
George is a Cowboys fan, by the way, and I'm a Steelers fan, Gary, so we're going at it. The real reason he threw the cold water on the UFC thing is this underlying tension between Pittsburgh and Dallas.
That must be it.
Anyway, George.
I don't know how it makes you feel any better.
Yeah, go ahead.
If it makes you feel any better, Thursday after the Thursday night game, I call the Ravens the third best team in the AFC North. So,
I mean, they might be, but there's no way you can't even use the Browns as any kind of measuring stick anymore. It's not a real NFL team. It just isn't. That's not a real NFL roster.
I believe I mentioned something about 11 Girl Scouts could run on Cleveland.
Wow. Wow, that's harsh. Harsh.
He's a Browns fan. He can say what he wants.
Notice how he didn't.
Yeah, it's true.
He's got nothing to lose.
Right.
Can we make fun of Gary now?
Yeah.
All right. Gary, how you feeling about your New York Jets this week? Had a little bit of problems. A couple of guys, sat out the first quarter. They going to play a little better this week versus the Rams?
You know, love Leonard Williams. Love what he's done this season. He's emerged as a legitimate, bona fide star. That the Jets were able to get him the 6th overall pick in the draft is a gift. Sean Richardson's been okay. I don't know what's wrong with Muhammad Wilkerson. He apparently signed that contract and took leave of his senses. So what kind of snaps is he going to see in the game? I don't know. It's a good matchup, especially for pass rushers. Not as much for linebackers. So Julian Stanford, assuming he starts again this week, and David Harris are okay plays, but not great ones. But on that defensive line, I would probably rank him this week. Leonard Williams, then Richardson, then Wilkerson. He makes me nervous right now. He's not. You know, it's like you said, sat out part of last week. Even when he is on the field, he isn't really getting numbers. And I think it's getting to him. I'm hoping that was just frustration as much as anything, and he'll get things back on track. But right now, I can't say that I'm certain that will happen.
So another high-profile game we got this week is Seahawks traveling in a short week, traveling to New England. You know, we got questions at their running back position. We've talked about Bobby Wagner a little bit. How do you see this game playing out? Do you think the Seahawks, since, you know, George even said earlier, he thinks they're the best team in the NFC. Patriots clearly the best team in the AFC thus far and best team in the NFL thus far. Do we think Seahawks trade blows here with New England? Keep it close. Or is this Tom Brady at home? Can't mess with Tom Brady at home.
You know, I'll buy the assertion that Seattle might very well be the best team in the NFC. I just don't know how good they are. And, you know, we see some weeks where they look great, other weeks where they look very beatable. It's going to come down to running the football and protecting Russell Wilson. And I don't know how effectively they're going to be able to do either one of those things against the Patriots. If the game was in Seattle, I'd give them a lot better. But it's in Foxborough. If the Patriots are leading at halftime, it's over. So I got to go New England there.
Yeah, Tom Brady all time at home, by the way, 115-20.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
And they have never in the history of Gillette Stadium lost a game where they were winning at halftime. Not one.
That's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
I think I'm going with the Patriots in that game. But we'll stick with the same game. Cam Chancellor's back. How much does that help that defense?
You know, it will help them to have kind of he directs a lot of traffic at the back end. It's not going to help IDP owners this weekend. It's kind of sad. Kelsey McCray's actually put up decent numbers for me the last couple weeks.
Do you think that hurts Edelman at all, though, because Chancellor tends to shut it down? Go ahead, Gary.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Kelsey McCray's actually put up good numbers for him the past couple weeks, but now this is just a bad match. The Patriots are either, I think, last or next to last in fantasy points allowed to defensive backs. So if you do get Chancellor back this week, get him back on your bench. There are much better options you can look at in the secondary.
Got it. So, you know, does that hurt Edelman in any considerable way? Obviously, with Chancellor, and you said McCray's playing well, and the Chancellor back in the mix, I just wonder if that takes away anything in the middle of the field. whether it's Gronk or Bennett or Edelman, does it impact any of those guys?
You know, I would assume they will try to put somebody on Gronkowski, but when he's healthy, does it really matter who they have covering him? If there's a guy in the NFL who's uncoverable, it's probably Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, but the irony is that the one guy in the league that I look at that can actually do the job is Cam Chancellor. If anybody
can. I'd always thought Ryan Shazier would be good in that job, too, but he can't stay on the field long enough
Tell me about it. Go ahead, George.
All right. A lot of questions I'm getting in the RotoExperts email answer queue, ding, is about the Saints. How you feeling about the Saints in New Orleans against that Denver defense? No Tlaib, no Wolf. How you feeling about your Saints?
I think the New Orleans offense should be fine. They're playing at home. It's Drew Brees. Like you said, there's no Tlaib, and we saw that secondary struggle pretty mightily last weekend without him out there. The question for New Orleans is going to be, can they stop Denver at all? You know, it's going to be a high-scoring game. It's going to be 30-27 or 31-28 or something like that. And if Denver does drop this game and the Saints go to over 500, all of a sudden there are going to be a lot of questions coming out of the Mile High City about the defending Super Bowl champions. And I think that's a real possibility.
So it's good stuff. Gary Davenport, now you can follow him on Twitter at IDP Sharks. He's an NFL analyst at Bleacher Report and the IDP senior staff writer for Fantasy Sharks. He's here every week at 9 o'clock to go through defenses and defensive players and, frankly, talk about anything related to fantasy football. So, Gary, good stuff. Sorry about your Browns. Try to enjoy the Buckeyes this week and settle in for a nice UFC fight tonight. What do you think?
A buzz. Right, we're a buzz about it, Barra.
Good stuff. Thanks, Gary. We'll talk to you next week, buddy. So that was it. That was Gary Davenport. He's from IDP Sharks. Hit him up on Twitter with any of your questions. He'll be here next week, same time, at 9 o'clock. So George and I will get over our differences regarding the UFC and other items.
Never.
It's this Steelers-Cowboys thing. I'm telling you, it's the underlying tension that George is feeling this week, and he's pushing back on me. He's what was the word you used? Subterfuge?
Ding.
Yeah, he's creating some sort of subterfuge. I don't even know if that word is appropriate in that instance. But George and I will be back to hash out our differences next on Fantasy Sports Network on Roto Experts in the Morning. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Mike Blewett, along with George Kurtz. We continue to careen towards 10 o'clock when Joe Lisi and Rich Chiaminello will take over for College Game Day. Feel free to give us a call or give them a call at 844-843-6879. That's 84-FNTSY. Hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. Certainly continuing the game-by-game analysis, but I think the game I want to go to next, we talked about Packers, Titans, Falcons, Eagles. You got Tevin Coleman out. You have the Devontae Freeman show potentially rearing its head yet again. What are your thoughts here, George, on Falcons, Eagles?
It's an interesting game. I think Doug Peterson probably picked the wrong week to come out and say that he wants to throw the ball less. Because I think he had to throw the ball a whole bunch this game to keep up with the Falcons. They're going to score some points. We know that. Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Devonta Freeman, Coleman's out. I think Sanu's an interesting play here, possibly, depending on what your roster construction is. I'm not going to shy away from him. The Eagles are more, I guess, fantasy are more fun to talk about. I don't love Wentz in this game. Once again, he's a streaming quarterback. Maybe you go with him, maybe you don't, depending on what else is out there. But I just don't love him. He didn't look all that good against Dallas. Everything was dink and duck. Then they opened it up last week against the Giants, but then made some mistakes. There's some picks. And I think that's where the Peterson comment comes from, that he'll make mistakes in those situations. The problem is they have no running game. I mean, right. Sproles is your starter. Yay. That's not scaring anybody. Ryan Matthews really want nothing to do with. He's the goal line guy now. Smallwood, Kendrick Bonner, really nothing to worry about there. I do like Jordan Matthews in PPR this week. No Desmond Trufant. He's out. I think Matthews going to catch a whole bunch of balls. I'm not going as far as Nelson Aguilar and Dorial Green-Beckham. I'll stay away. They realize they have Ertz on their team last week. What, he had 9 catches, 80 yards, something like that, 17
That came
points.
Out of nowhere for me.
Came out of nowhere. Everybody's dropping him. I think I wrote my Daily News article last week that it was time to get rid of him. Thank you so much, Philadelphia.
The only time I didn't drop him in one league, but I actually played Austin Hooper over him. And Austin Hooper caught a touchdown to save me, but I needed the Ertz points, frankly, in that league, and didn't have, just totally came out of nowhere for me. It's the way they should be using him every
yes.
week.
And then they came out and said they want to use him more in the red zone this week. So,
I just don't know what to believe in with this offense now.
Yeah, he becomes an interesting play again.
I will say, you're talking about the running backs. I'm just sort of surprised. It's going into the year, we were like, yeah, we kind of like the value of these guys. And now it's become a mess. It's basically become the Giants' backfield where you don't want anybody.
How much more interesting would this team be if they had DeMarco Murray?
No kidding.
And they use him right. I mean, all of a sudden, that we've seen what that can do for
It might look a little bit more like Dallas.
All right. You've seen what that can do for a rookie quarterback. When you have that running game, teams have to respect it, and you can control that clock, make things easier, third
and
short.
They lose Lane Johnson for the year because of the suspension, and I think that's hurt them quite a bit.
Of course it has, absolutely. Bottom line is, I think it's going to be some points put on the board here. Sproles is a flex running back to me if you need one. I can see it as an RB2 as well if you don't have much depth at running back, fine. It's Jordan Matthews I want. Ertz, he's a low-end tight end one for me, but he's in that same class as Fedorowicz, Brait. You know, some of these guys love big games, some won't. You know, I'm not going to start him over the guys like Eifert or Walker or anything like that. I'm not going there. They're, listen, low end. I would start him over Foligno, however.
Yeah, our dailyroto.com, our guys talking about this week in DFS and the NFL, they actually like the Eagles in tournament plays generally. Not a lot of bankable guys, but Sproles could be interesting at a price. You said Jordan Matthews in PPR, so maybe on DraftKings you're looking at Jordan Matthews to fill him in there. Wentz. Maybe, but you're really building a lineup with Carson Wentz when you're going high profile everywhere else, which, frankly, in cash games, David Johnson, the highest priced running back, is a guy that you want this week because of the matchup. You also have Alshon Jeffrey, Mike Evans at wide receiver. But to George's point, Jordan Matthews in PPR leagues, which is DraftKings for DFS, I think is an interesting option. On the Atlanta side, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, you don't really have to talk about those guys much, but Devonta Freeman, with Tevin Coleman out, he obviously becomes a much better option. You've had Austin Hooper flash a little bit, Jacob Timey out again, so if you've been struggling at tight end or you're crushed with bye weeks because you're missing, the tight ends that are off this week aren't really great options, but, you know, to Jack Doyle owners, maybe Austin Hooper is somebody in those deeper leagues that you could pick up and might be a positive for you. So I would say that you listen to George here with me every Saturday from 8 to 10, but if you just want to win your fantasy league and not worry about stacks, GPPs, or contrarian plays, then Old School Fantasy is the show for you. Fantasy Sports Writer Association Hall of Famer Scott the King Engel and award-nominated writers George Kurtz and Jake Seeley give you all you need to know to coolly run roughshod through your season-long leagues. The fun begins at 1 p.m. Eastern every weekday. Old School Fantasy only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network on demand at fntsy.com/radio or available for download on iTunes. George, I've listened to the show quite a bit lately. You guys really get into it. Jake's a big numbers guy, so you guys can hash it out. Scott disagrees with everybody, so that's always fun. And then you get to sit there in the middle and play traffic cop probably to some extent.
Oh, Travis, I've done the last segment with Cha-Cha. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I would say that there's some explicit language uttered during those segments.
Oh, that's putting it nicely.
Yeah.
Cha-Cha does not have a filter.
That is not. I mean, it's a midday show. It's typically not the time you want the explicit language segment, but that's the way we roll the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you're trying to avoid the explicit language, then say 1:40 to 2 p.m. That's where you don't want to be. And if you're downloading it on iTunes, maybe at like the 39th minute, you turn the volume down when the kids are in the room. That's
maybe you want to have headphones on.
Yeah.
It's fun. It is fun. We all tend to argue with each other, but the last 20 minutes with Scott and Cha-Cha generally screaming at each other is hilarious. Cha-Cha has some interesting takes. I was getting on him yesterday. I don't mind people having their opinions on things, but back it up, please.
Yeah.
You know, don't tell me you don't like it. Okay, why? I don't mind saying you don't like it. Why? Why? I want to know why. I don't like when people go, I don't like them. Why?
You know, there's an old saying, never ask a question that you don't know the answer to, but I'm about to do it. Did he give his thoughts on the election?
Oh, probably. I can't see how he would be. I don't remember.
Yeah, I can't imagine him
muzzling
himself.
He wasn't talking about it on Wednesday, but I don't remember offhand.
Yeah. Anyway, so
Cha-Cha was angry yesterday about he was mad about Scott because in the Greenwich Tavern League, Scott apparently made a move at 4 a.m. one day. And this bothered Cha-Cha to no end.
Yes.
Why?
Yeah.
Scott gets up at 4 a.m. for work. Yeah, and even if he didn't, even if he was hanging out watching TV at 4 a.m. in his underwear, who cares if he's making a move?
It doesn't matter. Like, just do it the night before.
Right.
The fact that he woke up early. I just CJ ProSize sitting there this morning. Go pick up CJ ProSize if you want.
What difference does it make?
And if Peyton Barber has a good game tomorrow, it's on you, buddy. It's on you. Because I was going to play Peyton Barber there. But
seems like we're in that league. I won't bother me in the least if you don't have a good day.
I know.
You said we're tied.
I probably just got duped there by my co-host.
I didn't even know we were tied. I don't follow these things as closely as you do. I just set my lineups. Everything else will fall.
I'm trying to make the playoffs. We only got 4 games left. So we need to win. And I both.
But it doesn't matter. Either way, I'm setting my best lineup. I don't need to know what place I'm in. I don't need to know anything.
No, I get that, but I'm just saying.
I just go on, ding, next.
I'm just saying we're in a position to miss the playoffs despite the fact that we're both having pretty good seasons.
Yeah, that happens. It's the worst thing. You never played a league where you got the most points that make the playoffs?
Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible.
It happens. It's head-to-head is more luck than skill.
Yeah. So one game, to transition back to the games and stop talking about a guy that swears on air, we will talk about Dolphins-Chargers. We talked about it a little bit at the top, the Jarvis Landry injury. They concede that they have to get him the ball more. We don't know if he's going to be able to play a full game, but the two running backs here, as hot as anybody in the entire league, right? We're talking fantasy, Jay Ajayi and Melvin Gordon. You expect more of the same? These guys are going to roll over these defenses?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think they both, no one expected them to be top 10 running backs. I mean, their RB1's easy. Gordon's an RB top 5, top 3 maybe. He's playing that well. I mean, who would you take over Gordon right now? Bell?
David Johnson, that's it.
Johnson?
And Bell.
Elliott?
Elliott.
I'd probably go with those three, and that's probably about it.
Yeah.
You know, and Ajayi's not that far behind now. So kudos. They're both playing fantastic. I think when you look at San Diego.
Melvin Gordon, just to pause for a second. Melvin Gordon is the one guy that you and I did talk about during the preseason where he's being drafted too low. This could be a guy that creeps into the RB1 conversation. We definitely didn't expect this because you couldn't have seen the red zone usage based on the way it was last year. You couldn't have seen the red zone usage taking this much of a hit. Obviously, Keenan Allen and other injuries have contributed to this, but man, that's the one guy I regret not having in certain leagues. I really liked where he was going in drafts at value, and it just didn't really shake out for me in any leagues. But Melvin Gordon's a guy that I regret not having on any teams. Anyway, continue, George.
Yeah, so what was I? Melvin Gordon, a must-start. Obviously, San Diego would interest me the most to be, is Travis Benjamin going to play? Now, if he doesn't, I think this makes Donchell Inman an interesting pickup. He's available in a lot of leagues. And you can start him here. The weakness of the Miami Dolphins team is the secondary. It's where you can hammer him. That's where you can find some big plays there. So the Inman could become a play if you've been slammed by injuries or slammed by the bye weeks. Inman is someone to look at here.
Yeah, and there's people hurting for bye weeks. You got Cooper, Crabtree, Hilton, Moncrief, Jones, Tate. Those guys are all out.
Tight ends, that's also intriguing because Hunter Henry is back. It looks like he'll be playing again. Gates looked good the past couple of weeks. Now Henry's back. Let me take away some of those targets, especially in the red zone, those targets. Gates looks like he's running sometimes with a whole damn orchestra on his back.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the player he used to be, but then again, Jason Witten is that way too, and he gets open.
Yeah.
These guys just know how to find a seam in the zone.
Catch the ball in traffic too.
Yeah, big targets, and Rivers trusts them, as we know. So I think, once again, low-end tight end one, Hunter high tight end two for me this week, because he proves he's over the knee and head injury there. For Miami, the wide receiver core is banged up, and it's banged up pretty good. Landry with the shoulder injury, Stills has an injury, Parker with the hamstring injury. They made noise during the week that they're going to have packages for Jakeem Grant and Kenyon Drake, that they might get in the game a little bit more. Something to think about. I'm not picking up either one of them at running back or wide receiver, but something to think about there that maybe lets you know these injuries are a little worse than they're letting on, that maybe these guys aren't going to be able to play the full game. Landry, I'm probably starting, Mike, unless you have a good depth on your roster. I think if I could avoid playing Landry, I probably would. Stills, I really don't want to play. If I could avoid playing him, I would. I just don't know if I can.
Yeah, you and I went through one of my lineups earlier. Like, I just can't put Willie Snead in over Jarvis Landry because as much as this team is changing their personality, I think Jarvis Landry is always going to be a part of that personality and a guy that want to get the ball in his hands 6 to 10 times a game. So it may still be that ball control, non-exciting kind of games. He's only got the one touchdown on the year, but in PPR leagues, Jarvis Landry is a guy that just kind of has to be in your lineup, and unless, like George said, your depth chart screams otherwise. Moving on to another game, we have I haven't talked about the Jets in a long time, so I'll bring them up here.
Oh, goody.
We got Rams at Jets. Not a ton of big fantasy options here, but you have the running backs. You got Todd Gurley banged up, going up against the Jets defensive line, which everybody says is stout. They got some suspensions going on. They got a couple guys injuries going on. Gary Davenport just got off. We just got away from Gary Davenport talking about how Mo Wilkerson is a head scratcher this year. So, Todd Gurley, no 100-yard games this year.
Not get it tomorrow either.
Yeah. So, but this guy you just got to have in there, right? He's like an RB2.
He's an RB2. Yeah. And, I mean, he's in there for me. I can't sit him. But I'm not loving the matchup here at all. I don't see him having a big game tomorrow. But he's probably in my lineup. Maybe you have better depth than I do. I don't.
Who do you like in this game? Matt Forte?
Sure, but the Jets are weird. They go away from him for some reason. I mean, last week he's tearing it up against the Dolphins. Tearing it up and they stop using him.
Nick Mangold is out again for the Jets. So just keep in mind, offensive line issues continue.
Certainly
there.
Won't help. But the Jets are a strange team. The coaching things. I was hearing about Fitzpatrick's banged up now, so maybe Bryce Petty does get in tomorrow, which is just going to add more problems. I think Petty does get in eventually. I don't know about tomorrow. Maybe it's more next week if the Jets lose again.
That's the question I actually wanted to ask you about this. So if you're Todd Bowles, would you have Petty in already?
I mean, is Petty your QB of the future?
You have to find out.
I guess you do have to find out. It's only what the
they drafted him. They drafted the guy as a project, granted, but, I mean, we're a year and a half into the project. You can't get the guy on the field?
It's sort of about like the Kessler situation in Cleveland. All right, the only difference is Cleveland's out. Jets technically aren't out. They're not mathematically eliminated yet.
3-6, but right, so as you said, they're not technically.
They're all but out.
Considering all the 4-4 and 5-3 teams and 4-5 teams, like, yeah, I mean, the Jets are only like two games out of the playoff race, amazingly.
The problem with Bowles is, I don't think he's guaranteed of keeping his job.
You don't think so?
Not guaranteed. Hugh Jackson knows that he's staying in Cleveland. He can do whatever he wants. He can play the games. I think Bowles may realize, I might need to win a couple of games here. You know, so I mean, if he were to win a
That
win
would
games,
shock me, actually. I heard a different radio show going through the guys that are definitely on the hot seat right now in the NFL. And there's not as many. I think Gus Bradley is the guy whose seat is the hottest.
I don't know how he's not gone already.
Right. And I think he's probably the guy that could go before the end of the year. Although the owner, Khan, just seems to want to keep him around through the end of the year. I think the only other guy is, if it goes south here in the last seven games, Mike McCoy in San Diego could be looking at being on the unemployment line. Especially with a potential move to L.A., I think they would just want to make a complete break there. By the way, San Diego voted down a stadium referendum.
That had no chance.
A tax referendum.
They needed two-thirds.
Yeah, so.
That was never going to happen.
And it was an interesting way that they did it. They put the taxes on the hotels in order to maybe take some of the heat off of local taxes. But in any event, like you said, it didn't pass, and L.A. move may be imminent. So you're saying Bowles, that would surprise me. I think Marvin Lewis, if things fell apart, they seem dedicated to him, but it's a good roster that's not performing well. We still have a long time to go. I think that's the one thing that, because in the fantasy season we're so deep into it, we forget in the NFL season there's still a long way to go. Like you just said, the Jets aren't out.
Yeah, they're 3-6, choke last year to not make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, I think they're not going to make the playoffs. Yeah, okay. No shot, but they're technically not out. The
quarterbacks have been, I mean, I don't know where Bowles sat on Fitzpatrick. If he demanded him to come back or didn't, that could play a part in it as well.
That's on Mike Maccagnan, though, isn't
maybe,
it?
Maybe. But if Bowles says, yes, he's going, you don't know where that he sat on that. But maybe now the two defensive linemen who sat last week were not showing up to meetings. That's not good. Looks bad on the head coach when players start to do this, that they're tuning him out. So I don't think he should be.
Sheldon Richardson, as good a talent as he is, this is that's a tough situation for the Jets.
It's a nightmare situation. But I don't think he should be, but I do wonder. If they'll talk about it, especially the Jets. Let's say the Jets end up 4-12. I mean, 2 years in a row in the NFL, it's not for long, right? So what the NFL stands for, they don't go stand pat. I'm not saying he should, but I do wonder if he could be in trouble. And that's I think that cloud is sticking a little bit, where he thinks he needs to win games. He's not there to try Bryce Petty. He's there to win now, which will lead him to put keeping Fitzpatrick in there longer than he should. If he was if he knew he was going to have the job for a while, I think he would have moved on already.
Yeah.
Obviously, Fitzpatrick's having a terrible season.
Yeah.
Right? So it's time to move on. You can see that.
Yeah.
He's not winning your games.
Hackenberg, clearly another project, and I think they just don't want to put him in harm's way. I think they'd rather just have him a year through the system before he's playing. Like, if it all falls apart for the Jets, would they throw Christian Hackenberg in there for week 17? Maybe, just to get him some snaps. But clearly they don't feel like he's ready yet. I would put Petty out there personally if they lose this week. I think this is the week. Like 3-7, you're not making it back from that. You know, you're just not making it back to leap over that many teams to the playoffs. So I just want to get your thoughts there. I just thought it was interesting.
Patriots are next week, by the way.
Yeah, so there you go. 3-8, right? They need this win against the Rams. They can obviously beat the Rams, but it could be, so it could be 4-6. If they beat the Patriots and, like, you know, pull that off.
Oh, that's the Sunday night game, too.
Then we're 5-6.
There's no way Petty starts that game.
Where is that?
Jets.
It's here. Okay, so
here.
Interesting.
Jersey. It's not
sorry,
here.
We're
not here.
We're in the heart of Manhattan, in the shadow of Madison Square Garden, where it is a buzz with the UFC. The Garden, if nothing else, if the city isn't, the Garden is. I'm going to take a picture and tweet it out to all of you that are listening, of probably a huge Conor McGregor poster or something after the show.
So you're going to watch the fight? You home time watching the fight? Oh, it's a buzz, but you're not even going to watch it.
No, as long as it starts at a reasonable time. The problem with the Vegas fights is they go on, like, the main event is, like, after midnight, and I'm just beat. I mean, we're here early in the morning.
So it's so a buzz, such a big fight that you just can't stay up.
But if that main event is at, like, 10, yeah, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
I'll be excited about it. I'll stream it on UFC.TV. So I won't buy it.
Wait, the fight's not here?
What?
The fight's not here?
Yeah, it is here.
Then why are we talking about Vegas?
Because when the fights happen in Vegas, Eastern time, that main event,
but we're talking
fight.
About this fight.
Right. So here. I will be – I don't know exactly what time McGregor is going on. I think if it's around 10 p.m., I can do it. If they push
it
late.
Is it going to be 1 a.m. here?
No, probably not. But these fights happen late, sometimes 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, that I know. That's because they're happening
there. I'm an aging man with two young kids. A son of whose four-year-old son woke up at 4:30 in the morning this morning for the day. So that's where I'm at. In any event, we'll get back to some more games after the break. George can continue to hammer me regarding my affinity for the UFC, which obviously I'm a football guy.
You may or may not watch.
I will watch. If I can stay awake, that's my only promise. I'm going to watch it if I can stay awake. So anyway, we will talk about the exciting 49ers Cards matchup along with Bengals Giants after the break. It's Mike and George on Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike and George on Roto Experts in the Morning, taking you up till 10 o'clock. And Saturday mornings aren't meant for sleeping. They're meant for hangovers and college football. Join GoForTheTwo.com's Joe Lisi and Campus Insider's Rich Chiarmanello on college football game day as they tackle all the big topics from around the college football landscape and prepare you for your Saturday slate of action. It all happens live from 10 a.m. to noon every college football Saturday, only on Fantasy Sports Radio Network, on demand at fntsy.com/radio or available for download on iTunes. High-profile games today. We got West Virginia in Austin to play the Longhorns, Oklahoma hosting Baylor, Alabama hosting Mississippi State. That's a walkover, I'm sure. Penn State, a surprising 7-2 Penn State team plays at Indiana today. Ironically, they're in the top 10, and they really have no options to get to the playoff. Wisconsin trying to keep it rolling at 7-2. They face off against Illinois, Auburn at Georgia, Ohio State at Maryland. No real big games today here. I mean, LSU-Arkansas, I guess, if you want a little bit of an SEC buzz, but those teams are barely inside the rankings. So Clemson trying to hold off Pitt today, and I think the teams will kind of hold serve this week as we head towards these conference championships in a few weeks. Like I said, my alma mater did not get shut out last night. The Boston College Eagles did not get shut out. They were losing by 40 points. They lost 45-7. So good times. Basketball team also lost to the team, Nicholls State, which is expected to finish last in the Southland Conference. So that's how I feel about my alma mater. Not good. And that's your update for the day on BC. So as we continue to roll along towards 10 o'clock, we have next game up, 49ers Cards. We talked a lot about that. You got J.J. Nelson there over the other depth chart guys. We got David Johnson there. The Niners, Carlos Hyde injured. Anybody, Kaepernick, or any of the wide receivers on the Niners? You like anything there?
On the Niners?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm sorry, I got to ask.
Niners.
They are an actual NFL
Niners.
Team.
Niners. This is the 1 week I don't like Kaepernick as a streamer. I've been liking him the past couple of weeks because of the high floor he has, because he can run the ball with 50, 60 yards. I don't like him this week at all. Arizona's coming off a bye week. They're going to be prepared for him. I think this is going to be an ugly game.
A perfect week for a bye for Arizona. I think they could turn it around here in the second half.
Because the joke would be this is another bye for Arizona.
Yeah.
This game smells like 38-10. It just smells bad. I'm liking my Cardinals, not liking my Niners. I don't see anybody on the Niners I want to start. Hyde had two great weeks, and I couldn't play him. If he does come back, and I think he will play this weekend, good luck against Arizona. Not liking him either, but I don't know if you can do better than him. We discussed the passing game earlier. Palmer is probably more than a streamer this week. I like him. I think he's going to have a big game. I'm assuming he throws some touchdowns, and David Johnson doesn't run in them all. That's my biggest worry, is that Johnson goes bananas in the first half.
Yep.
Scores... 125 yards and three touchdowns in one half. Wouldn't shock me at all.
That's my concern. I got Larry Fitzgerald on a few teams. That's my concern.
Starting Fitz, though. Fitz is an easy start.
It is an easy start, no doubt. But it's I just get worried about the passing volume. And then maybe his day is sort of a 440 as opposed to what could be a potentially bigger day. Hopefully he gets in the end zone early, like you said. So not too much else to talk about there. Bengals at the Giants. It's a Monday night game. Obviously two very high-profile wide receivers here in Odell and A.J. Green. Do you expect the Giants secondary, like you said earlier, pretty good secondary, but do you like A.J. to take these guys on?
I like A.J. against anybody, so it doesn't matter. A.J., yeah. You're starting. Beckham, you're starting. I don't talk about guys who are easy starts.
Yeah.
I think we look at the Bengals. You think about the running game. Hill, Gio, and I'm starting both. I don't think Hill's going to have a monster game here, but I do think he might get in the end zone. That's good enough for me there. Gio, PPR, like he'll catch his share of catches. Eifert's a start here. Tight end, I think he's back to being a tight end one easily. Dalton loves looking at him in the red zone. I don't like Dalton.
That was going to be my next question.
He's not a streamer for me this week. I'd stay away if I can. Go one of the other guys we talked about all show. And you mentioned LaFell, Boyd. I really don't want to start either one of them. They're two up and down. You don't know which one they're going to go at here. Giants are fairly healthy in the secondary, as far as cornerbacks anyway. For the Giants, I said Beckham, you're starting. After that, that's really maybe about it. Eli Manning is in that same Dalton category. Don't want to start him this game if I can avoid. I don't see him having a big game here. I'd rather go with a Cutler, a guy like that, a streaming quarterback.
I get worried about Eli because the offensive line is nothing to write home about. And if the Bengals play a good game.
Pugh's out too. That's going to hurt.
That's right.
That's going to hurt. The Giant running game, I want nothing to do with.
No.
That's pretty ugly. I do think Perkins is going to be the guy there eventually. Maybe this week, maybe next week. He had the same amount of touches as a running back.
But we talked about this last week. Does it even matter?
His touches went up.
True.
But he didn't do anything with them.
That's right.
Even to Jennings.
I'm saying he's probably the guy to own, but I don't know that it matters.
It's ugly. So. Sort of like what's going on with Seattle. The only player, really, on the Giants offense I want to start is Beckham.
Got it. Okay. Not even Will Tye, huh? That was a joke. Don't get mad.
Got to hope it don't have to go down that low.
So Bears at Bucks. Could see some big numbers here, actually. You don't like these defenses. By the way, that's another coach that we didn't mention that I think is probably on the hot seat. The Bears the Bears are miserable right now.
They're not going to fire John Fox at the one season.
Well, this is season number two, right? Wasn't he there last year? This is his first year. So, what if they end up 3-13?
Not gonna. He'll get another year.
All right.
Bucks, doesn't matter. They're gonna have a new quarterback next year. I'm assuming that Jay Cutler is gone.
That's sort of my thought process there.
New quarterback, new coach.
That's right. Bring them all in together. Bring in your new coach so he can pick the new quarterback, whoever the heck it is. But listen, I was reading something earlier this week where I think it was Todd McShay, his draft pick, obviously for ESPN. I think the highest rated quarterback he has right now is an 88 grade. Which is considerably lower than some of the other top-flight quarterbacks drafted in the last few years.
Not good for Cleveland.
So it was assumed it was going to be Deshaun Watson and a few other guys from Clemson and a few other guys out there. But maybe none of these guys are seen as elite franchise quarterbacks. So
wouldn't that be just the luck for Cleveland?
It is the luck. I'm telling you, I don't think there's one guy. They'll talk themselves into somebody. They should have talked themselves into Wentz, but they're going to talk maybe. But they'll talk themselves into somebody that shouldn't be the first overall pick. He won't even be close to the best player, I would imagine. So it is just the Cleveland way. I mean, it just gets worse. And they're $45 million under the cap, so maybe they spend some money to bring in some players. Bears Bucks, sorry to get back to that. You like Cutler to stream this week. Jameis, like you said, in the QB1 conversation. Mike Evans is nobody you need to worry about. But Alshon Jeffrey is the number one target by our DFS guys in Daily Roto from DailyRoto.com this week. So you like Jeffrey to have a big
Everybody passes against Tampa. Everybody.
That's right.
Right. Lousy pass defense. So, yes, I do like Jeffrey. I think he's a wide receiver one this week. Go back to being a wide receiver one.
How about anybody else in that depth chart for Chicago at wide receiver?
Not really.
Cam Meredith.
I think they're interesting plays, but not. I assume most teams who have wide receiver depth, they're going to be looking in other directions. Maybe Cam Meredith is a wide receiver three, maybe. But Cutler doesn't seem to like him anywhere near as what this Hoyer does. Cutler likes Jeffrey. He's going to look that direction.
So I had Gary Barnage on one team. I benched him for Zach Miller. Zach Miller was available on the waiver wire, and Zach Miller is a good streaming tight end this week. He's probably in most of your leagues already on a roster somewhere, but I'm telling you, I'm in a 12-team league with slightly shallower benches, and I was able to pick up Zach Miller this week. So check your waiver wires now and pick up Zach Miller. I think he'd be a good play over some other guys, like a Gary Barnage and a few other guys. So as we only got a few minutes left, we'll go rapid fire here. Vikings at Washington. The Vikings have gone south. Who can you use on the Vikings?
Diggs.
Not named Stephon Diggs.
Rudolph.
Kyle Rudolph.
You can use Rudolph as a low-end tight end one. Oh, that offense is broken, and I don't know if it's going to be fixed.
I don't know either.
Bradshaw, that's funny.
We spent weeks debating Matt Asiata and Jerick McKinnon. And it didn't matter.
No, thank you. I'll stay away from those two. Bradford, I find it incredibly ironic. This year, he's getting hammered behind that offensive line,
right.
And he's still healthy. Over years, he barely got touched and got hurt. I think it's affecting his play. I think he's feeling the rush, seeing the rush, really, which is not good for a quarterback. And it's just a matter of time until he breaks down anyway. Diggs and Rudolph, the only two I'll touch there.
Got it. And on Washington, we talked a lot about Jameson Crowder being your option there.
Yeah, we hit the
at the running back position, though, you said it's a three-headed monster, complicated. So how do you sort that out? Who do you play?
Well, I mean, PPR, Thompson's in consideration. Standard, he's not. Kelly is going to start. How long he lasts depends on how well he plays. And
played well the last time out, right?
Yeah, it's Minnesota tomorrow, though. Yep. They don't have a left tackle either. He's suspended.
Yep.
So good luck with that. You know, this may be a game where, you know, Kelly gets the start, but he can't get anything done, and they throw in Matt Jones. Not that he can get anything done either, but it's really not a good spot for either one. But if I had to choose, if you ask me to choose which one, I'm going Kelly.
Got it. So keep going through the games. Chiefs at Panthers. No Jeremy Maclin. Carolina has some offensive line issues, which could put a damper on Jonathan Stewart. But Cam Newton is really seen as sort of the best DFS option this week, especially on FanDuel, where his pricing is a little bit soft. So it's not like you're debating whether or not you put Cam in. I'm just saying that it could be a legitimate matchup for him. Anybody else there? Kelvin Benjamin, Greg Olsen. These are guys you're going to have in your lineup, correct?
Just the name players.
Yep.
Really, there's no one else here really to look at here. KC, you're looking at Spencer Ware, Travis Kelce. That's it. You know, Panthers, Newton, Olsen, Benjamin.
Yeah.
You know, Stewart is in there as well. I don't think you're going to do better than him at the two running backs.
Sure.
Maybe you are. But for me, I know leagues I have him, he's in there. But nobody else, I'm not putting in Funchess or anything like that or really anybody else. Just the name players here.
I mean, give me 30 seconds on Texans, Jags. Do you like the quarterbacks here? You like Bortles here? Do you like Robinson?
Well, Mr. Bortles has been terrible NFL-wise. He's been good fantasy-wise. So if you need to go with him, he's a streamer. I can see it. Robinson, I'm probably staying away from Hearns with the injury. Robinson, I'm probably going to start. Don't love the matchup here, though. Texans are very good against number one wide receivers. Staying away from Julius Thomas. Osweiler has killed that passing offense, but you're probably still starting Hopkins. I'm staying away from Fuller. Miller is a must-start.
So there you go. That was it, folks. We actually got through every game this week. We went rapid fire in order to do it. You can continue to hit us up all day on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. Hit up George at George Kurtz. George also takes care of the email queue at rotoexperts.com. And at rotoexperts.com, you can do the in-season exclusive edge package. You get lineups, you get rankings, you get all kinds of streaming options. And George writes an article on which defenses you'd like to attack. So good stuff there. Great job. Great job by Pete Considori today. Got Joe Lisi and Rich Cherminello coming up at 10 o'clock for College Game Day. I'm going to go hang out in front of Madison Square Garden, feel the buzz.
The electricity.
Maybe take a picture, tweet it out to all my 1,000 followers. Thanks, folks. Appreciate you listening. Download the apps, Fantasy Radio, FNTSY Radio on iTunes and on Android, Google Play.